Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Sports Look here on Care Radio, brought, of course, to you by our great Sports Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Store. The upcoming sports schedule here on Care Radio, Gus, is we'll be talking about this at some length. The Benedictine Ravens move into the NAIA, National Football Championship Series, as we will be in Wilcox Stadium Saturday. It's a noon kickoff. Care Radio pregame at about 11:30. The Ravens will be hosting the Mound Builders out of Southwestern. So, first round of national tournament action here on Care Radio Saturday. With that said, there is a lot of playoffs going on. Gus Gouts with me to my left, Tom Gouts. And Gus, football playoffs in the state of Kansas, well, they're narrowing them down. Final fours on every bracket, winners of these games this weekend to the state championship.
Yeah, we're getting down to the end. And let's just jump from the top, go down at Class 6A. It is Gardner Edgerton taking on Olathe Northwest. And in the bottom half, it's Manhattan High, who got by Wichita Northwest 27-18. They'll be taking on Derby, who beat Washburn Rural 36-21.
Derby, of course, the many-time state champion, will be tough to get beyond, but those should be some great games. 6A Final Four. Class 5A Final Four. How about those Mill Valley Panthers? As they're going to be at home this week. They had no trouble with Pittsburgh, 49-0. They have been a juggernaut. In fact, how many points has Mill Valley given up in the postseason?
Yet to?
None. They have not been scored on. They shut out Harmon. They shut out Shawnee Heights. They shut out Pittsburgh. Now they're going to have Blue Valley Southwest. But Blue Valley Southwest is a little different. Last week they scored 69. The week before that they scored 56. The week before that they scored 42. So that goose egg might just disappear for Mill Valley. Out west, it is Mays and Hayes. And that's going to be a nightmare for whoever's calling that game.
I was going to say, that just has to be terrible, right? I mean, Mays comes into the ballgame undefeated on the season. Hayes is 10-1, their only loss coming to Manhattan earlier this season. So, yeah, you got two really good teams playing there. That game going to be played at Mays.
In Class 4A, I don't know, no real surprises probably here in the top half of the bracket. The east half of the bracket, it will be Bishop Miege, who defeated Piper 60-28. They defeated Eudora 33-26, first week 54-22 over Labette County. So Miege continues on playing St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas defeated St. James Academy last week.
Yeah, and you think about that. That was one of the two losses this season for head coach Randy Dreiling, Saints. St. Thomas Aquinas, way back on September 23rd, lost to St. James 24-20. Well, they returned the favor in the playoffs, winning 28-13, and now we're on for Miege and Aquinas. And you got to think those two teams probably have played this season. They have. Aquinas came away with a 29-26 win the last time these two teams played, back on October the 7th. So,
and by the way, if Randy Dreiling rings a bell, number 23 for the Benedictine Ravens back in the days. So an old Raven at the head coach there. In the west, and it's not that far west, Wamego is going to be at home, and they will be hosting McPherson, the Bullpups. Again, a couple of teams very, very familiar with the postseason and a lot of success. Wamego coming in 11-0 on the year, and they've had a good run. Every postseason game for Wamego has been at home.
Nothing wrong with that, right? McPherson, they have been basically the same, right? They are 10-1. Their only loss came back on the 16th of September. They lost at Junction City 30-15. Their first three games of the postseason have been at home with Mulvane, Ark City, and Circle. Now they're going to make their first road trip of the year as they're going to go to Wamego.
And you got to understand that when they lost to Junction City, this is a 4A team losing to a 6A team. Okay, mm-hmm. So give them a little bit of leeway here. You got 3A, and in that, again, some very familiar names as Topeka Hayden knocked off Columbus last week. Holton defeats Girard, and so again, it is Holton Hayden for the opportunity to go to the state championship game.
It's Brooks versus Bill.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
So you talk about Hayden coming. Let's start with Holton. Holton comes into that ballgame 10-1. Their only loss was week one to Nemaha Central. They lost that thing 35-28. For Hayden and head coach Bill Arnold, the Wildcats have lost one game this season. That game was back on the 14th of October. They went to Holton and lost 37-13. And let's hold on. Let's make sure I get this right. Because those two, yeah, they were both in the same district, District 4. So these two teams are really the reason why we take multiple teams out of the districts now, right?
Because they're exactly the reason, yeah.
Back in 2001, I think, was the last year that we only took one team to out of the district, right? So it was like the district champion, and that's it. Then in 2002, it went to the top two seeds moved on to the playoffs. So, you know, it definitely comes down to Hayden and Holton, and those two teams are going to decide who punches their ticket to the state championship game. And on the bottom half of that bracket, you're going to have Andale. Well, yeah, you're going to have Andale waiting on him. I know Andale gets Clay Center, but just don't see Clay Center being able to hold on. They're 8-3. There are three losses against Southeast of Saline, Wamego, and at Rock Creek. So,
and you mentioned again for Topeka Hayden, another former Benedictine Raven, who's head coach there, Bill Arnold, quarterbacked the Ravens and in some wonderful glory years. Bill, a great guy, and knows a little bit about football. So that should be another fantastic pairing.
You talk about Andale, who is 11-0 this season. They've not given up 20 points to anybody yet, right? There was one team that got close. El Dorado scored 19 on them. Other than that, it's been smooth sailing for the Indians of Andale.
Hey, at Class 2A, and the good news is the Big 7's going to have a team in the title game. Bad news is, had the bracket been drawn up differently, East and West, they could have had two teams in the state championship game. It'll be Sabetha and Nemaha Central meeting in that game at Seneca. And this is the first time that Sabetha has been on the road in the postseason. These two teams met on the final game of the regular season, and Sabetha did not win. Nemaha Center winning that first, matching up 24-7. And that was also at Nemaha Central.
Yeah, I mean, Nemaha Central right now, undefeated. They're 11-0, playing really good football. They've got wins against, you know, Holton, Minneapolis, Riley County, Sabetha, Rossville, Humboldt. They're going to play Sabetha on Friday night. I'm going to tell you, go out on my limb, they're going to win that, and they're going to get the winner of Kingman and Southeast of Saline.
So it's going to be pretty outstanding football there. Sabetha, Nemaha Central, and the rematch.
Yeah, and how about this? Kingman, the Eagles, they have a Benedictine somewhat connection. One of their assistant coaches?
Yeah.
Drew Kraxner.
Is that where he's at?
So,
outstanding.
Kingman having a really good season right now. They are 11-0, and they're just thumping everybody. So, should be interesting to see how Class 2A. I always want to call it 3A because those teams are, in my mind, are all 3A teams. So now jumping down to Class 1A.
And a team that I keep thinking is a Class 3A team that has continued to shrink and shrink, and that is the Bears of St. Mary's, who got by Colgan, St. Mary's Colgan. So last week it was St. Mary's and St. Mary's. It was St. Mary's Bears winning 36-12. St. Mary's will be playing Centralia, a team that we saw get by JCN, a team who last week beat multiple state champion Opie in the best possible kind of a game, 8-7. And you know how they got to those numbers, right?
Wow.
It's about only one way.
Wow. And so the bottom half of the bracket's going to see Conway Springs hosting Inman. So the Teutons are having a really good season. They are 10-1. Their only loss coming to Conway Springs. Back on October 14th at Conway Springs, it was the Cardinals winning 35-14. So Inman looking to avenge that loss.
And, yeah, that's pretty much going to do it around here. The eight mans, there's nobody anywhere close. And so, unless your friends from Wichita County and Leote.
Linden is eight man now?
How good, yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, we've seen them so many times over the years, you know, and with JCN.
Yeah, JCN every year it seemed like we get Linden in round two. I think the year we did some Troy games, they had Linden at one point. So, anyway, yeah. Lots of games going on. And how about this? They'll be state champions crowned by the time we're back.
That is absolutely crazy, isn't it?
So,
that said, hey, we're going to take a quick break. We got lots to talk about college football. We're going to visit with Benedictine Lady Raven head coach Tad Folsom here in a little bit, and more Sports Hook continues right after this. Back with you here on Sports Look, and I guess we alluded a little bit earlier in the program to the fact that our next game is going to be Benedictine at home in the first round of the NAIA National Football Championship Series, and they will be hosting Southwestern. Last week, we traveled down to Olathe at the District Activity Center. Benedictine started off a little slow, then put together a huge lead. Minnemeka scored a little late, but the Ravens just felt like they were in control of that game for me throughout the afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, it just was one of those games where you can look back at it and draw a few things from it, but Mid-America was maybe not as good as I thought they were going to be. And you could say that, or maybe the better way to say it is Benedictine is just so good. It's tough for teams to hold up against them because in that game, Caleb Tianis, on the very first drive, scores on a 49-yard touchdown pass. And he went off to have a big game, and you're like, okay. But Benedictine answers back on a 1-yard run by Rayshon. And then that was about the end of the day that we really saw Rayshon running the ball, I think kind of giving him a little rest. We saw a lot of Dalton Witherspoon and thought the freshman ran the ball really well. Kettle went off for a rush. What? One running touchdown, four passing touchdown. Benedictine with a safety to start the third quarter. And I'm telling you, this team is going to be a tough out for anybody in the playoffs because they're just well-rounded right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. And so for Benedictine, it's kind of an exciting time right now.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you make the playoffs, you're sitting there at that sixth seed, so you're like, all right, it's good to be here. I'm going to tell you that not all the seeds are going to hold true, so I think there are a handful of teams that are poised to get knocked off this weekend. I think Grandview is maybe one of those teams. They're going to get Carroll coming to their place, so again, it's playoffs, and you can never figure what's going to happen.
Yeah, and again, let's just look at it quickly. The eight games, 16 teams make the tournament, and the eight games are going to be number one Morningside at home with number 16 Arizona Christian. Morningside undefeated. Arizona Christian's 8-2.
Yeah, and Arizona Christian has the best kicker in NAIA football, one of the better kickers probably in the country right now. And so I think that's one of those games where you want to jump way out ahead. You don't want to be in a game that could come down to special teams late.
And I don't think it will.
Yeah.
Grandview, you mentioned this, 11-0. They've got number 15, Carroll, Montana, up in Des Moines. But, again, Carroll playing up in that big sky out there, you know, they're not bad. Carroll, many, many, many national championships hanging up in their halls.
Yeah, I mean, they just know how to win. And I think that, you know, that game could be closer than anyone really anticipates.
Number 3, Northwestern will be at home with Dickinson State out of North Dakota. Northwestern is 9-1. Their only loss, a week 1 loss to Morningside.
Yeah, and I just don't know that I believe in Dickinson State in this game. Now, could I be wrong? Sure. Would I like to be wrong? Yeah. But I just think Northwestern is is going to run that game.
Now, here's a game that I know you feel could be an upset, as Bethel, Tennessee, an 11-0 team, is hosting number 12. That would be, out of the Sun Conference, the Seahawks of Kaiser.
Yeah, and for me, you're going to laugh at this. I think the bigger upset would be if Bethel wins this game. Because people are looking at Kaiser and they're saying, ah, oh, they're 12, they're out of the Sun Conference, they don't play anybody. Their three losses this season have come to Lindenwood, a Division I program, the number two team in the country when it comes to Division II, which is Valdosta State, and then they lost to Mississippi College, another Division II program. So, again, their three losses have come to bigger programs, and they play close in them. So, again, I like the Seahawks, and I like the way they run the ball. I think that they're going to be, you know, one of those teams that will make a run.
Number 5, Indiana Wesleyan will be at home at 9-1.
Huh? They got a bye.
You think so? With Avila. Avila, the champions of the Kansas Conference.
Was Indiana Wesleyan the team last year that Baker got and then got up there?
Yes.
And then the game got canceled, and so Baker just got the win?
Yes.
Right?
Correct.
So Indiana Wesleyan, and they're a young program, if I remember right, too. So, again, they're in the playoffs for the second time, but now looking to actually play a game.
Of course, number 6, Benedictine, hosting number 10, Southwestern. The Ravens 10-1, Southwestern 9-1. Marion, Indiana, an 8-1 team, will host number 11, St. Xavier of Illinois. They are 9-2. Then Lindsey Wilson, who could be a real sleeper in this, at 9-1. They will be hosting number 9, Reinhardt, Georgia, who is 8-1. You notice a lot of these teams playing 9 games and not an 11-game schedule. And that's, there's a lot of controversy about that. A lot of people grumble and moan and, you know, gnash their teeth over those schools who play 9. In the old days, a lot of schools, and a couple that I will not name out of this conference, the Heart, would play 8, which was the national minimum.
Right. And there are teams out there that like to do it, and, you know, some of those teams have been done for a while, and I think for the Kansas Conference, they kind of jump up and down that they should have had 3 teams in. But again, if you're not going to play a full schedule, it's probably going to work against you a little bit.
Yeah, the Bethel fans are very, very upset. And you knew they were going to be coming in. You knew somebody was going to be, because you had 3 teams that were tri-champions of that conference. And then they go to the tiebreakers. And ultimately, again, Avila wins out, Southwestern number 2.
And did you see what their tiebreaker was? It was like point differential.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, you know, but again, if you're going to do that, then you better.
It forces you to roll a score up, is what it does.
Yeah, exactly. So Southwestern is going to come to Atchison on Saturday. Whew. Watch a little film on Southwestern. I'll be interested when you get to talk to Coach Osborne to see what his thoughts are on this team. I think they just run the ball well, right? They have big receivers that block well downfield. They don't like to throw it a whole lot, but when they do, they try to make it count. Yeah, so it'll be a real interesting matchup for the Ravens on Saturday afternoon, a noon kickoff. That Grandview game also a 12 o'clock kickoff.
Yes, and again, Southwestern, you know, out of Winfield, Kansas. We have been to Winfield, Kansas before. Benedictine, I mean, I guess it depends on the semantics. Benedictine has never played Southwestern. St. Benedict's has, because they were old opponents in the CIC conference way, 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 way back in the day. And so, you know, it'll be kind of interesting to see. Of course, Benedictine has played Southwestern in basketball as recently as, oh, I don't know what, last week?
Mm-hmm.
So they are, it's not like they are, you know, completely unfamiliar with one another, and you know, Southwestern is just pretty good. We'll see. Looking forward to seeing that ball game.
Ravens' first return to the playoffs since that 2018 national runner-up team. So
there you go. So that is how it shakes out. Ravens at home Saturday. Get up to Wilcox Stadium, and again, make a note, it is a 12 o'clock noon kickoff, and without lights on the field and with the return of standard time, I think that everybody just wanted to make sure that there was a cushion between the end of the game and twilight, so they want to make sure that thing gets done, and we're looking forward to being there for you. We'll be back. More Sports Talk here on Care Radio right after this. We've got Chant Folsom, Benedictine women's head basketball coach. Coach, it is so good to talk to you. How are you today, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Tom.
And you got to be excited. The season is very young. I mean, with just a couple of games under your belt, but a lot more coming up and a couple this weekend. How you feel so far?
Well, we're getting there. You know, we got a lot of new players we're trying to factor in. We've got some injuries we've been dealing with a little bit, but I feel like we're progressing in the right direction. And, you know, excited for the games to come here. We got a tough non-conference schedule, and I think that's going to help prepare us for when once we get to conference play.
Well, we need to let the fans know, of course, it's your annual classic this weekend with Friday night and then Saturday afternoon games up in the Nolan Gym.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Yep, tonight we have a 7 o'clock game against Sterling. Sterling College is, I think, ranked 13th in the country, so that's going to be a big test for us tonight. And then tomorrow we're going to face Avila University out of Kansas City. We'll see them at 3 o'clock, and there'll be a game tomorrow before ours. Baker is going to play Sterling tomorrow. That's the schedule for the weekend.
And then what you've got coming up, you'll have a few more before the conference starts, right?
Yeah, then we'll just one more after that. Next Saturday, we travel up to Sioux City, Iowa. We play Morningside University. Morningside's ranked number 3 in the country, so a big test there. And then the following Saturday after Thanksgiving is when we begin conference play. So we got 3 games coming up, and then conference starts after Thanksgiving.
And, you know, part of that is, you know, just a handful of non-conference games, not like it used to be because the conference has expanded. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot more conference games, and you're kind of limited with the number of games you can have, right?
True, yes. So the NAIA's limit is 28 games, so you can only play 28. It used to be 30, but they dropped it this past year to 28. And then our conference actually expanded a little bit. Last year we played 19 conference games. We played everybody in the North Division once, everybody in the South Division twice. And this year we added 3 games, so we're actually going to cross over and play 3 teams in the North twice. It's kind of random for every team, so we'll end up playing 22 conference games and 6 non-conference games this year.
So the 2 out of the North that you played twice, it was just kind of a luck of the draw thing, really?
It was, yeah. There's a scheduler that does our league schedule, and she has no affiliation with anyone, and she just put teams together. So for us this year, we have Mount Mercy twice, we have Culver Stockton twice, and we have William Penn twice.
Well, it's better than going to Dubuque.
That's true, but we're on the year where we hit that game on the road anyway, so we are going to be going to Dubuque for that one. They're just not coming back down here to us this year.
Well, Coach, we need to talk about some of your athletes. First of all, since you had, you know, a great graduating class of, you know, wonderful, wonderful players, time moves on and it's time to replace them, but you're going to fortunately bring back a nucleus of good, good talent.
That's true, yep. And like you said, we did graduate 5 seniors last year, and 3 of them were all conference players, 2 of them are 1,000-point scorers, so we are losing quite a bit, but like you said, we've got other players ready to step up, fill those roles, take on bigger roles this year, and you know, some of those key gals, we've got 2 seniors this year. One of them is Twyla Carrasquillo that plays the power forward position. She played a backup spot last year, but it's kind of moved into the starting role this year. Then we have a starter back, Aaliyah Raines, who played the 2-guard position. She was honorable mention all-conference last year. She is also a member of the all-defensive team in the Heart of America Conference. So we're counting on those two being leaders. We've got another starter back that played, you know, filled in last year. We had 2, I guess. You call them both starters, but they both play the point guard position. You know, the beginning of the year, Allie Kramer was our starting point guard, and she went down with an injury. She's now recovered from that and is back on the court, which we're super excited to see and doing great things. And then Kennedy Nicholson, who was a freshman last year, came in and ran the point when Allie went down, and she was honorable mention all conference last year. So she too is just a year wiser, year better, year smarter, and doing great things for us too. So those gals have been our kind of our core that's back, but then we've got some other gals that played last year. One of them is yet to get on the court because of injury still is Kyra Mizoraka. She's a 6'3 post player in the middle. We're excited that she gets to start practicing next week, so we're hoping in a couple weeks we'll have her back in the fold. And then we had a couple gals that played the wing spot. Riley Wade and Maddie Gerritsen are both factoring in right now, playing well, giving us some experience and leadership and understanding of how to do things out there too. So,
and when you add to those good returning experienced players, you're going to bring in a lot of young talent, and you've also got a transfer that people in the area are going to be excited to watch play.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we've got five new players. Three of them are freshmen. Actually, six, I guess, because I keep forgetting Kathleen Stanley, another transfer that came last January. So this is her first time on the court. So we really have six new players, three freshmen, three transfers. So, you know, the transfer you're referring to, Josie Weiser, is, you know, coming to us from Missouri Western, where she played 2 years. And, of course, she was a high school standout and one of the best players in Northeast Kansas out at JCN when she was playing high school. So we're super excited to have her here. She was, you know, one of our top recruits coming out of high school, and she chose Missouri Western. So thankful, I guess, that she's decided to come back. And so she's been doing wonderful things for us so far. We're super excited to have her. And, you know, it's nice to have another local talent on our team this year.
Coach, that has been a hallmark for you and your teams over the years, is getting a lot of players within a really reasonable radius. And by reasonable, I mean, you know, hour or two, or even in the case, you know, sometimes reaching out maybe several hours, but not so much, you know, like some teams, they're from the coast one way or another and they've got nobody nearby. It so helps with fans coming and just kind of helping the community buy in on some of these kids.
For sure. You know, I think way back 20-something years ago when I started here, it seemed like I found out quickly that female athletes as a whole, not all, but would rather be closer to home, you know. So we kind of kept our recruiting in that 3-4 hour radius. And I say this year for sure, most all of our players, we got a ton from Kansas, only a couple from Missouri. We've got one from Nebraska, one from Iowa, and one from Oklahoma, but pretty much all right here in the Midwest. And one other thing is there's a lot of talent in that area. You know, you don't have to really go out that much farther because there's so many good players in Kansas City, St. Louis, Des Moines, Wichita, all those areas. And we've been fortunate enough to get a lot of those gals to come play for us here.
And part of getting them, you're recruiting. And, of course, you got a great right hand to lean on with Andy Conley. I have to keep remembering Conley.
I know, right? Keep wanting to say Wilder, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Andy Conley. She's married, yep, with three little ones of her own now. But, yeah, it's been exciting. You know, like I said, I've been here 22 years now, and to have Andy with me for 15 of those 22 years, pretty amazing. You know, not a lot of programs have that kind of consistency in their coaching staff, you know, and have an assistant that's been here that long. So we do work really well together. It's great to have that. You know, other person that sees things similarly, you know, in part of the program and helping do things on a daily basis.
Talking about consistency in the coaching staff, you're also able to, you know, incorporate some young person who's from the area,
mm-hmm.
from the team,
right.
on the coaching staff, because Heather Runnebaum is helping out this year, and I'm sure she is a great person to have on the group.
Totally. You know, it's exciting to have her helping us out, too. Like you said, Heather is from Atchison, went to Morehill Mount Academy, played here for the past 4 years, and is now working on a graduate degree. We won't say what school she's doing that with, but no, it's actually down in Mid-American Nazarene. But anyway, but no, she's helping us in practice games and scouting and everything else. So it's great to have her here because she knows how we do things. She's 100% bought into what we do and is supportive of everything, and it's great to have her within our program helping us out right now. So it's been a blessing.
Now, you're going to be, again, playing in the Classic this weekend and then another game before the conference. This conference, not just the great competition you're playing, because you talk about Morningside, and I guess you do know the way. Do you need a map to get to?
Yeah.
Probably not.
I've been there a few times.
Okay.
You're right. Yeah, Morningside, that's where my oldest daughter graduated from last year. So, yeah, I know that route quite well.
And you've got great competition. I mean, the non-cons, just like you said, help you get ready. And then in this conference, this is such a salty conference. I mean, it is good top to bottom. And are there any teams that you're looking at this year that you're going to say, man, these guys look pretty loaded to me?
Yes, I mean, definitely. And I think, you know, as far as NAI women's basketball conferences in America, we're definitely one of the top two or three in the country. You know, last year we sent five teams in the national tournament. no other, there one league sent six and another sent eight, but so we were the top three leagues in the country sending teams to the national tournament. And what else is impressive is that when those teams get there, they win. You know, last year we had four of the five win their first round game. We were one of those. And then we had two go on to the Sweet 16, and then we had one go all the way to the Final Four. So there's definitely great teams in our conference. And, you know, when I looked this year, we had a preseason poll, and, we kind of got to see a little bit of who teams have recruited and who they have coming back. And it seems like this year, not a lot of the teams have their whole starting five back from last year. So they were already good last year and they got them all back. And with that extra year that kids can have now with COVID, you know, you never know who's a senior, who's a junior, who's what class. But, you know, right now I'd say the top would be Clark. You know, Clark returns their top eight players from last year. Three or four of them are COVID seniors, and they won the conference last year, went on the Sweet 16. So they're definitely up there. Then you got Central Methodist, who returns six of their top seven players. And they, the only one that graduated was the conference player of the year. She was a Division I transfer point guard from West Virginia. Well, she graduated, and now he brought in one up. Division I transfer point guard from Georgia Tech to replace her. So I think they're pretty stacked as well. And then you got a lot of teams, you know, that are right there with us, Mid-America Nazarene, Evangel, Missouri Valley. A lot of these teams are Mount Mercy have all brought back majority of their squads from last year. So I think it's going to be a battle this year, no doubt. And I think there's going to be a lot of depth in our conference, a lot of good teams, and every night's going to be a tough game.
Some quality coaches in this conference too. I mean, there's some of the guys like John Lewis that we've seen around a long time. Janet Bruggen has been here now for a while, and we're going to see returning to the conference Tori Morello, because suddenly, you know, she's bounced back.
Yes, right. Yep, she was at Avila, and when Avila was in our league, she was an assistant coach for a lot of years. She was a great player there. Then she took over the program a few years back, and now she moved over and is now coaching at Baker. So, we'll see her now back in the conference, and she's put up some good teams when she was at Avila, so I'm sure Baker's going to be a team to contend with as well.
And when you talk about the good teams, it seems like, you know, the good coaches put together the good teams. The continuity makes for good teams, and it's just kind of how it works. I mean, good coaches stick around, and it's just becomes kind of contagious, I guess, winning.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I mean, there's a reason they're successful there. They've got colleges that, you know, support their athletic programs and want them to do well. And, you know, we're just like me here. I'm blessed to be at a place that, you know, is just one of the top, I think, NAI college campuses in America. I mean, it's just beautiful, and all the buildings and all the facilities we have, and the support from the president, and, you know, it's just a great place to be, and to see the growth that's happened at Benedictine over all these years, going from 800 students my first year to now 2,100 students. And I'm just blessed to be able to be here and be part of this place for so long, and love being part of Benedictine Athletics.
Let's talk about fans. Say somebody wants to come to the ball game, you know, tickets, how are they available? How is it done? Because, you know, the old days of walking up and telling Lee, you know, two, please, that's done,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we're gone digital. We're digital world now. So, yeah, a lot of it you can go find on our website. There's always a link there to purchase game day tickets. There's also a link on the website if you want to purchase season tickets, which will get you into both the men's and women's games all season long. So, you can get tickets that way. But nowadays, yeah, you just show your phone and you get a QR code, and that gets you into the game now. So I think that's kind of the way it's going everywhere, you know, professional sports games as well as most college sporting games too. So we just caught up to the times, and we're kind of trying to stay right there.
And, of course, the website ravenathletics.com, and they can learn all about the girls and the coaching staff. They can kind of keep up with what's going on right there.
That's right, for sure. And if we're on the road, you know, they can click on there's a little icon with a camera on it. You can watch the games. You know, all the games that we play in are all broadcasted to online, and then they can also listen, because you're going to be there, right, Tom?
We're going to be there, Coach.
That we got coming. That's good. So they can listen to you, too. So maybe they can turn on the video, turn off the volume, and then listen to you calling the game. That would probably be the best-case scenario.
I think you'd be stunned at how many people do that, actually.
Yeah,
it's kind of good, which is kind of nice, you know. So
yep,
we're
sure.
Happy to be able to do that. And, again, the season – we'll just recap real quick these games coming up. They've got, you've got Friday night at home, Saturday at 3, right?
That's right. Yep. Friday at 7, Saturday at 3. And then we won't be back in town, I don't think, either the men or us, until, let me look here, we're back after Thanksgiving. I think our first game back will be November 30th. I think we have Baker coming to town. So, yep, that'll be our first home game after this weekend. Will be November 30th.
Well, Coach, we're looking forward to another exciting season of Lady Raven basketball. I love the group. We've had a chance to, you know, to see them a little bit already this year. And I tell you what, fans like good basketball, good women's basketball, up-tempo, and a team that just seems like they seem like they get along so well. They're having so much fun. It's a joy to watch.
Yep, it is. That's kind of what we try to do. We try to build a family up here, you know, where they all care about each other on and off the court, and it shows in how they play. So, you know, and I always think, you know, we got to pay attention to doing the little things right. So we really work a lot on trying to do the little parts of the game correctly, and I think if we can do that, we'll be able to find success.
Chad Folsom, appreciate your taking your time. Best of luck to you and the Lady Ravens. We'll be seeing you a lot very soon.
All right. Appreciate it, Tom. Thank you very much.
Welcome back to Sports Look here on KAIR-FM Horton Atchison. That's the Kansas City Chiefs. They didn't just go out and really demolish the Jaguars last week, and yet, kind of like that Benedictine game, you never felt like they were ever in any jeopardy of not winning that game, did you?
No, it proved to me how bad the Jaguars really are, honestly, because it was one of those games where Kansas City made mistake after mistake after mistake, and then they still come away with a 27-17 thumping of the Jaguars, right? And again, it was one of those things where when Jacksonville comes out and onside kicks the opening kick, you're like, all right, they're just trying to make something happen. They know they aren't going to be able to line up with you. In Kansas City, I thought, you know, the worst part about that game is you got really beat up in the wide receiver room. The best part of that game might have been, though, that you found out your new acquisition can play, right?
Was there a question about that, really?
You know, I mean, he's got great talent. He was one of the better receivers coming into the draft that year. But the problem was, could you keep him healthy? And right now he's stayed healthy, and the Chiefs look, you know, back to the number one seed in what is supposed to be a rebuild year, should scare a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. And, of course, with that said, you know, you have to revisit that Bills-Vikings game. Oh, my goodness.
Ooh, was that crazy? Was it a lot of fun?
Josh Allen, they're still just, like, throwing rocks at him.
I'm telling you, you get the snap, push forward, right? Get the snap, push forward. It should be the easiest play, and a lot of times it doesn't seem to be that. He fumbles the ball in the end zone. The rest was history, and the Vikings come away with a huge win. And for the Bills now, they find themselves at third place in their division. They're a wild card team. Now, granted, they're going to be the best wild card team probably in the history of the wild card. But, you know, there's a chance if they start skidding a little bit that they find their way out of the playoffs.
Yeah, and you've got the Kansas City Chiefs. They have flexed that game a week ago. They had to give them 10 days' notice. Of course, they flexed the game until Sunday night. Kansas City is going to be playing the Chargers. Again, it's going to be Sunday night, 7:20 ball game. Kansas City at 7-2 now. The Chargers at 5-4, and surprisingly, barely above 500.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of things going on with this game, right? I think I had read somewhere, is this right, that Patrick Mahomes is undefeated in November and December?
I think that's right.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. He doesn't lose on the road in the division, and if the Chiefs can knock off the Chargers on Sunday night, Kansas City would have a 3-game lead in the division. That's wild.
Right.
For a division that everybody thought was going to be good.
Everybody said before the season this is the best division in football, and obviously they're not even close to that.
It has not. But again, Kansas City going in with a banged-up wide receiver room for the Chargers, starting to maybe get a little healthier. There's still some questions on, you know, exactly who's going to play for the Chargers, but I wouldn't be shocked if Mike Williams and Keenan Allen somehow miraculously come back for this game, but should be fun. Chiefs-Chargers always seems like it's a crazy game.
Yeah, and again, crazy. The best division of football, of course, the NFC East, I think, is probably the best one. I mean, you could argue about the AFC East, but the NFC East with the Eagles at 8-1, the Giants 7-2, the Cowboys are 6-3, and The Commanders are 500 and had the biggest upset, maybe the second biggest upset in football last week.
Yeah, and you can say it's the best division. I don't think you're wrong, but does one team in that division scare you? Right? Like, I don't trust Dak Prescott if the game's on the line. You know, the Eagles are hit or miss. Like, they're really good at one moment, then they're, like, causing problems for themselves the next moment. So, again, I just don't trust anybody coming out of the NFC.
Other games that are going to be going on, if you're dying for some football, you've got tonight's game with the Titans and the Packers at 7:15.
Yeah, that just doesn't do anything for me.
Titans in front at the AFC South, though. And, boy, if anybody can explain what's happened to the Packers, there are a lot of people who'd like to know.
Yeah. You know, in the
what is wrong?
You say that, but yet, did they maybe find the magic solution against the Cowboys, or are the Cowboys just maybe not good? I think, for me, that's a big question.
The big question is, when does Jordan Love play?
Never.
Never.
Ever.
Okay.
He will be the next Chase Daniel.
Well, that's not a bad gig either.
No! Get a lot of money, sit behind somebody, and smile a lot.
Sunday games also will have Browns at Bills. Here's where the Bills are going to try to get really wild really fast, right?
Yeah, they're not going to. The Browns are going to win this game.
What?
If they get the snow they're calling for.
Well, I'm hearing 2 to 3 feet.
4 to 6 is now.
Oh, now?
Yeah.
Oh, lake effect snow, baby.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they said. They're in a lake effect, you know, warning. But the Browns run the ball so well, the Bills do not run the ball to save themselves. And I'm going to tell you, you're talking about that kind of snow and that kind of stuff. I think Chubb's going to have a huge game. I think the Browns knock off the Bills. In back-to-back weeks, the Bills lose two.
That'll be kind of fun. Eagles at Colts. That's going to be a noon game on Sunday.
Yeah, and Jeff Saturday has a shot to go 2-0 as the new coach at the Colts.
All of the criticism he's getting, is that warranted?
No.
I mean, some people are saying, those assistants should have gotten the job.
Yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
I get where they're at. But here's the other thing, that if you want to look at the other side of that, like, the advantage to bringing Jeff Saturday in was that he was only on a interim basis. So if he went 0-7 or 7-0, it didn't really matter. If he went 2-5. But let's say you elevate maybe an up-and-coming coordinator. And let's say he loses 4 of the last 7 games. Okay? All of a sudden, now the shine is off of that guy. And maybe warrants other teams to say, well, but you weren't really good in those last 7 games. So, I mean, I get where people are saying that that's a bad hire. I think it's a great hire because, again, you're hiring somebody who just, you know, is in and back out. Like, you're not... I don't know. You're not ruffling a whole lot of feathers or taking the shine off of somebody.
Yeah, but the beauty of it is, too, with a guy like him, he's got no ties to anybody. He can come in and do maybe some things that you want to do, but mm-hmm. when you have a relationship or an association with somebody, you hate to be the guy that pulls out that broom or kicks that guy out the door or makes whatever changes has to. For him, he doesn't care.
Yeah, and so that's why I think, you know, he's probably a really good hire for him.
Speaking of a game that I think will be interesting, how about Cowboys and Pack?
Cowboys, Vikings, sorry, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The Cowboys are playing good. And then they get to the fourth quarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for the Cowboys, it's one of those things that they were up 17 on the Packers and then allowed the Packers to come back. The Vikings are just riding high after that win against the Bills. Dallas, a 1.5-point favor in it. The over-under, 47.5. Again, I just don't know that I can trust in Dak.
Raiders are going to be at the Broncos, two of the most ultimately inept teams in football, two teams that everybody thought was going to be in the running, and boy, Wilson continues to fade. And Cowboy fans, I mean, I'm going to be honest, in the middle of the night, when I catch a little skip, you know, I will pick up some Denver AM radio, and those people out there are not happy.
Yeah, I mean, Russ has not done anything for the Broncos. What, he hasn't thrown even 12 touchdowns yet this season? I think that's the big number that everybody's laughing about right now. And the Raiders just look confused. I mean, they've got one of the best receivers in the NFL and one of the best running backs right now, playing this season at least, and they can't get either of those things to work for them. So Again, I think it's just a mess that both of those organizations and the Chiefs are thrilled that they're in the division.
Yeah. And lastly, and how crazy is this? We'd hear about all of these in the overseas games or the, you know, out of the country games, and we get used to getting the 8 a.m. Sunday games, but Monday night football, I have to think it's the first time they've done this.
Mm. Well, yes and no. They tried to do it. Remember the year the Chiefs were going to play the Chargers? That was supposed to be Monday night, and then they ended up moving it to, was it the Rose Bowl or somewhere where I think they ended up playing it. So they've tried this before, but let's hope the turf is a little better. 49ers Cardinals.
Monday night.
Does that do anything for you?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No. Don't mean I'm going to watch it because it's Monday night football.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, quickly to the Saturday football games besides the Benedict and Ravens. You're going to have Texas at Kansas. Kansas, they got a little magic over the Longhorns.
Yeah, you know, that's a big win last year at Texas. I think Texas will have that firmly on the mind. I think that's probably being played over and over in Austin. But, again, Texas coming off a tough loss to TCU last week at their place. So, I don't know. I think this game could be a little better than anticipated. Texas only a 9-point favorite in this thing.
And then you've got, of course, Kansas State, who's now number 15, at West Virginia.
Yeah, Kansas State
should not have any problems.
Yeah, Kansas State playing really good football right now. The Mountaineers are not that. Here in 2 weeks, Kansas State, the Sunflower Showdown, got flexed to a night game.
Well, it should.
Yeah, both teams playing pretty well right now.
Oklahoma State's playing pretty well, too, and they are at Oklahoma.
Yeah, so Bedlam, it's going to be a 6:30 game. Oklahoma State playing pretty well. Oklahoma is not. I'm going to tell you that if Oklahoma State, and for some reason Oklahoma is 7.5-point favorite, if Oklahoma State has the shot, Gundy is going to beat the brakes off of Oklahoma in this game.
Hold on to your hat for that one.
Yeah.
Hey, hold on to your hat Saturday, too. So we're going to be up at Wilcox Stadium, the Benedict and Ravens in the first round of the NAIA National Football Tournament. And we'll be with you pregame here on Care Radio at about 11:30. Kickoff on Care Radio, the Ravens and the Mound Builders, high noon.
Yeah, I mean, by the time we get back for Sports Look, we'll hopefully be talking about, you know, the Ravens preparing for a semifinals game.
And, you know, we may be leaving Sports Look and jumping on the bus, depending on where this thing takes us.
Yeah, it depends where it's at. Hey, real quick, and then we'll get out of here on this. On this day in 1989, the Royals paid a player the highest contract in baseball history to that point, $2.96 million.
Now, the Royals have not been known for throwing money around, so this is serious.
And for the Royals to have been the highest contract at that point, they gave it to a pitcher, Brett Saberhagen. So,
World Series hero and Kansas City icon.
Yeah, and cashed in on it, right?
Why wouldn't you?
And today, a $2.96 million contract that would be
pick
like
you up
a really bad reliever, you know, that probably, you know, had an 8 ERA last season, okay?
And you got him in, what, September?
Yeah.
Our Sports Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience. Till we greet you from Wilcox Stadium Saturday at noon. For Gus Couch, Tom Couch, so long, everybody.